Welcome back here to Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's talk basketball. To do that, we turn to John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Well, bad news on the doorstep for Celtics fans. No more Jaylen Brown for the rest of this season. What's the impact going to be, John?
Well, the impact's going to be that they don't have an all-star to come back and try to fuel some level of miraculous run. Obviously, it hurts the team, it hurts him, because this is going to be an injury that keeps him on the sidelines for many months. He's going to have surgery here in the next couple of days. Luckily, it's in his offhand, so the non-dominant hand allows him to still, you know, get some shots up with his right hand and do some things. And it's a wrist injury, so they can, after some time off, he can get into some cardio and stuff like that. But somebody's going to have to step up for the Celtics if they're going to make a run. If there's any sort of silver lining here, sometimes when a guy goes down, it juices the team to, you know, they know that they can't rely on him coming back. So maybe there's a little bit of a rallying cry at this point.
And John, you made the case that it might be worth considering putting Aaron Nesmith in that starting lineup.
Yeah, I think his recent steps forward, his ability to recognize things, his ability to attack a little bit better, his ability to defend, the energy that he brings, it all allows him to kind of function a lot better. I would never have suggested this a few months ago, but it does a couple of things. It gives the Celtics a guy who can make the right play. And it puts Evan Fournier in a position to come off of the bench and kind of be one of the two main guys. So rather than have three guys on the floor at once and then two as you sub them out, I think just always having two and three at the end would kind of make sense. And it allows for Fournier to be a little bit more of his old self, a little bit more ball dominant, a little bit more of, hey, go out there and do your thing. So it doesn't impact Fournier's minutes. It doesn't impact his anything, really, other than he's going to just play at just some slightly different parts of the game. And I think that's going to help the Celtics, rather than have some times where it's Tatum on the floor by himself with four bench players. Making sure that he's there with a couple of, at least one of the other Kemba or Fournier at all times, I think that makes more sense.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, four games left in the regular season. What's the best case scenario for the Celtics heading into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the best case scenario is that they win the last four and Miami loses another one somewhere in the next few, and New York loses at least one more, so the Celtics can catch up to both, and they can get into that 4-5 and play probably the Atlanta Hawks and at least have a more favorable draw. So I think in a best case, they get an inexperienced team, they get a better chance of coming out of the first round, and then maybe in the second round they catch a break with either a matchup or maybe something happens that benefits them, and maybe they pull an upset.
Not everybody is doing this, but I know a lot of fans are angry. They're disappointed in the team. They're pointing fingers of blame and saying that this is a selfish team. What's a fair criticism of the way this team has seemed to approach the games down the stretch?
Yeah, I don't think that they're selfish. It's been thrown at me a lot, and I'm kind of confused by it. I don't think that this is a selfish team. I think this team has been a little too, I think arrogant might be harsh, but it's in that family of reactions where their initial starts to the games have been problematic. And knowing, coming into a game like the last one against Miami or the prior one against Chicago, and to fall behind by so much, I don't understand how that team can know the stakes, which they say they do, and still play the way they do. And okay, it's fine if they lose. Like, I'm not going to sit here. I don't buy into reactions just on the end results of games, because teams can play poorly and win, and teams can play great and lose. But if there's any one thing that really chaps me, it's a lack of effort. And there's no excuse for a lack of effort. Even if they're fatigued and they come out with a big start and they fade towards the end, then I can say, hey, look, they came out, they tried. They just don't have the gas left. I'd give them credit for that. But there is some level of being overly comfortable or overly confident or full of something that, you know, too much of themselves to come out and think that they can just compete with certain teams by showing up. You know, Brad Stevens says, when we're not fully engaged, we're not a good team. And he said that multiple times. They've questioned the team's resolve. That, I think, to me, is the fairest criticism of this team. That, for some reason, they don't fully grasp the gravity. I mean, look, it's not as serious as, you know, compared to real life, but from basketball terms, they don't fully grasp how important these games are, and they don't come out with the understanding of how they need to play.
And we've talked about this before. Those people who jump on Brad Stevens and say, "Wow, he's too easy on him. He doesn't push them enough. He doesn't hold them accountable." Among other things, I think those people don't quite grasp how the modern game works.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, you can't be all up in everybody's face. This isn't Rick Pitino or, you know, John Calipari in college. And I do think, first of all, people don't understand how long a season is. And there's a time and a place you have to pick and choose your spots as a coach to, you know, lose your mind on a team in a huddle or in the locker room. And I think if a coach acted the way most fans wanted him to act, that type of coach would actually lose his team quicker than people think Brad Stevens is losing his team. And I don't think he's lost his team. They see the coach as a motivator, which he is in some ways, but this is the NBA. And these guys are professionals. Like, this is motivation should be the last thing that Brad Stevens needs to impart on these guys. Your motivation is the contract, the fame, all of that stuff, winning championships, your legacy. That's your motivation to go out there and play hard every day. It shouldn't be on the coach to hold a guy's hand and be like, come on, please play hard. And the other thing that I'll just add is people say all of this and they simply just do not know who Brad Stevens is. They see his post-game demeanor and they hear him mic'd up in the huddle, and they don't hear or see the other emotional outbursts. They don't hear or see how he's riding referees. They don't hear or see how he is in locker rooms or with the team in private moments. So the way he acts with the team is different than the image that he portrays with the media. But people only have a certain amount of information, and they think he's Mr. Aw Shucks Golly Gee, and that's just not who he is between the lines. Like, he's a normal, swearing, cussing basketball coach who has to match the intensity and ego of his NBA players to get his message through. And then when he hits the media, he does what he's supposed to do. He puts on a professional demeanor, the nice Midwest guy, and he talks to the media in a respectful way. So people just don't see the whole picture, and they make assumptions based on just partial information.
If it's an early exit for the team, there will be talk, there will be thoughts, I'm sure, of altering the roster a little bit in the offseason, and that's likely to happen anyway. But obviously, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum aren't going anywhere. But could somebody like a Marcus Smart be playing his last games with the Celtics?
It's entirely possible. I mean, I can't rule that out. They're going to look to improve this team, and they see what's ahead of them. They see the Brooklyn Nets are ahead of them, and they're going to have to find a way to match that talent level, whether it's by Tatum and Brown taking steps forward and raising the level of everybody they play with and just putting in depth to take advantage of the high, just, you know, Brooklyn just being a high-end talent team, and maybe you can take advantage of their, I don't want to say lack of depth, because they've got some decent players, but you know what I mean. But if Marcus Smart gets them a high-end player to be like their third guy, and then they can still keep Evan Fournier, then you bite the bullet and you just say, if you can keep Aaron Nesmith in that deal, you just hope that Aaron Nesmith's intensity is something that you ride moving forward. But I personally, I'm not sure that they're just going to do what some fans do and say, time for Marcus Smart to go, and we're just going to figure out something else. I think if Marcus Smart does go, it'll have to be part of a deal that gets them a higher-end player.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we thank you as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.